Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. We are now in Nazir, Daf Samach Bet, Amud Bet, at the very top of the Amud, at the end of the first mission of the ninth Perek, comparing the status of an Eved Kanani who takes a vow of Nazirut and a woman who takes a wife. Takes a vow of Nazirut. Earlier in the first part of Mishnah Aleph, we said that the stringency about Nashim is that he cannot force his wife to violate her Nazirut, whereas he can force his Eved to. Now, Chomer Avadim bin Nashim, we'll see how the Eved has a stronger position, shall we say, Shumefer Nidrei Ishto, because he can repudiate the neder of his wife, Eino Mefer Nidrei Avdo, but he can't repudiate the neder of his slave. Now, Hefer Le'ishto, if indeed he does repudiate the neder of his wife, then Hefer Olamit, then it's done forever, and she's not a Nazirah from that haflaw. Hefer Le'avdo, but if he repudiated the neder of his slave, then Yatzah Le'cherut U'mashlim Naziruto, then the Eved goes free, and has to complete his Nazirut of 30 days, or however long he took. It's not rejected. Now, Tan Rabbanan, Lama Rabo Kofo. We're now dealing with the first part of the Mishnah, which is the master's ability, as it were, to force his Eved to violate Nazirut. So why is he able to do that? L'Nazirut of Alolim Dorim L'Arachin. The first question of the parameter is, in what areas can the master force his Eved to do that? We say only for Nazirut, but not for Nedarim and Arachin. Right? So he cannot force his Eved to violate a Neder or a valuation, a promise of giving gift, a gift. Ma'ishna gabe Nazir. So why in the case of Nazir do we say that he can force him? That's the way we're reading it now. De'am Rachman al-Esori Sar al-Nafsho. In the Parsha of Nidre Yisur, it says that he takes a prohibition on himself. And as we saw earlier, B'mishin Nafsho Knuyelo, that's referring to someone who owns himself. Yatza Eved She'en Nafsho Knuyelo, as opposed to an Eved who doesn't own himself, and therefore cannot abstain from taking in those things that are necessary for health and strength, because it's not up to him to do so. So, Iyachi Afilu Gaben Adorim Nami. So if that's the case, then all Nadorim should be all the dorm should be a circumstance where the Eved where an Eved can be forced. Because any vow that he takes, he's taking a vow in an area that's not up to him to take. So, Amar of Shesha, Tacha Mayaskin, and Kungon Shaya, Eshkol Shal Anavim Munach Lefanav. So, Shesha creates a circumstance where what we have is a cluster of grapes in front of him. Gab in the Dorim, when he takes a neder, the neder is against a particular item. So, the Chi Mitzar Bahai Lo Mitzar Bahrini, when he prohibits this cluster, he's not prohibited from other clusters. Right? So, Lo Atzikafile, the master cannot force him to eat that cluster, because if the master's whole interest is that the Yevit eat grapes, or eat wheat, or take a bath, whatever it is, he can use others. Gab in Naziru, the Chi Mitzar Bahai Itzar Bahulu. Actually, taking a bath is a bad example, because the whole issue here is about nutrition. Gab in Naziru, the Chi Mitzar Bahai Itzar Bahulu, but in Nazirut, he doesn't ban a particular set of grapes. He bans the entire class of grapes. Therefore, Matzi Kafile, therefore the master can say, you need to eat grapes to be healthy. You can't be a Nazir. A Nedir, you could say, I'll bring other grapes. Now, Vagabin Nadarim, Ilamaskin, Deleka, Alahai, Eshkol, but what are you going to do in the case of Nadarim where there only is that cluster of grapes and he bandits him from himself from it? Meaning, in that case, the master should be able to force him. If he doesn't eat it, he'll become weak. So, Elam Arava, Rava tries to draw a different distinction. There were some pits in front of him. Gabin Nadarim Bahai Hudimitsar, in the case of Nadarim, it's only this one that he's banned from. Lomatsi Kafi, they can't force him because he can eat others. Gabin Nazir eats the Nami Bahrini, but when it comes to Nazirut, you're banned from all pits of grapes, all seeds of grapes. Matsi Kafi, so it's the same problem. Gabin Nadarim, Miloaskin and Delek Alahai Hartson, what are you going to do in the case of Nadarim? He takes a ban from this seed, but it's the only seed around. Same problem. Amar Abaye says there's a totally different read of the Braita. When the Braita says Lamar Bo Kufol and Nazirut of Olandorim Arachim, don't read it as he may only force him to violate Nazirut, but rather Lamar Bo Tsarich Lichpoto. For which things does the master have to demonstrate his mastery over the Eved by forcing him to violate it? L'Nazirut. He doesn't have to force him to violate a neder. The neder never stands. Not for Shvuah either. Why? My time, Adam Akratik. Look at the Pasuk. Shvuat Bitu is defined as Lahara or Lahetiv, to do something literally bad or good, but that he takes a Shvuah to avoid something or to commit to something. That's the way we read it. So Mahatava Rishu, just like his commitment, has to be a commitment for something which is voluntary, meaning he can't commit to do something which he's already obligated to do. Ein Ashua Chalal Ashua. Similarly, a vow to abstain must be something that's within his domain to abstain from. He can't say, I'm going to abstain from something which I'm obligated to do, like eating matzah. He can't say, I'm going to abstain from something which I'm already not allowed to do, like eating chazer. And he also cannot say, I'm going to abstain from eating, when he's not in charge of himself because his master is. And therefore, you cannot take a vow that's going to hurt others. In the case of the Eved, his not eating will hurt his master's financial interests. Therefore, says Abaye, you don't need to force him to violate his neder or shua, because it doesn't stand at all. It's only in the zirut that does have a stand because of the words ve'amarta lehem. There you can force him to violate it. There you would need to force him to violate it to demonstrate that it doesn't stand. Okay, now the next Mishnah, it's really the end of Mishnah Aleph. Avarmi keneged panav. Let's say that the Eved left you. Right, he took the nezirut and then he ran away. Remeir omer lo yishteh. We tell him to the Eved, you can't drink. You're still bound by nezirut. Rabbi Yossi omer yishteh. Rabbi Yossi says, no, we allow him to drink. Now, what's the reason? Lema, we think, but Shmuel kamipalgi, that Remeir and Rabbi Yossi are disagreeing about a principle later enunciated by Shmuel, whether he accepted or not. Damar Shmuel, hamafkir avdo yotza lecherut ve'ein sarich get shichur. If a man disowns his Eved, the Eved is automatically free, doesn't need to get shichur. And his status has changed. Remeir idle to Shmuel. Remeir accepts Shmuel, and therefore, when this guy left and the master didn't protest, the Eved is free, and since he's free, he's bound by the neder, as we said, and therefore he can't drink. Rabbi Yossi late to Shmuel. Rabbi Yossi says, no, he's still the slave. And since he's still the slave, the nezirut doesn't stand, and he can drink. So, lo. The chuli alma idle to Shmuel. Everybody accepts the principle later enunciated by Shmuel that if you're mafkir, you're a slave, then you don't need to get shichur. Alamandama yishteh. So now, why did Rabbi Yossi say he should drink? So sof sof mehadar hadavati gabe. Chances are pretty good that the master is going to get him back. So we tell him to drink wine because he doesn't have the right to make himself weak. So when his master gets him back, he's now a deficient slave. And according to Rabbi Meir, he says, lo yishteh, what's the reason? This will motivate him to go back to his master, because suddenly he'll realize that as a free man, with really a difficult life of not having a safety net, as it were, and he's also not allowed to drink wine, he's going to say, oh, this is not such a good thing. I'm going to go back. Running away was not smart. I'm going to go back to my master, and I'll be able to drink wine. Okay, the next Mishnah, which truly is Mishnah Bet. Nazir Shigileach Venodalo Shehutame, meaning that a Nazir already went through the process of the full Tahara, he shaved, he brought the Korbanot, and then he found out that he'd become Tamei, obviously this means he became Tamei before shaving. And Tumat Mate, of course. In Tumah Yedua, if it's called Tumah Yedua, which means it's a Tumah that others were aware of. He was aware of it. He just didn't realize how close he'd come, or that he'd been over it and created an Ohel, or whatever it may be. Soter. Then the entire, well, the Nezirut is canceled. We'll see how much. The In Tumat Tahom, if it's what's called Tumat Tahom, which we dealt with earlier, which means it is a Tumah which was really unknown to people. Then enosoter, and it doesn't cancel. Now imachelogilach, but if he discovers it before shaving, in other words, then the last day of nezirut or later than that, he hadn't yet shaved, and then suddenly somebody comes and tells him, you know that road that you walked on, and he had encountered tuma there, benkach or benkach soter, which means whether it's tuma tahom or tuma yidua, it cancels. Kate said, let's see an example of what this means. Yarad lipol b'miara. Let's say he went to dip in the waters. I wrote this in very abbreviated form on the page, to dip in a cave, but it means that in the cave where the water had gathered, he went to go into the mikveh there. And in some mate, Safal Piamara, he came out of the cave, and later on they found a mate floating in front of the cave, then Tameh. That's called Tumah Yidua. We have to assume that people knew about this Tumah. We'll see the definition of Tumah Tahom in a minute. We have to assume people knew about it, and so therefore, in any case, we assume that he had contact with this mate, although he didn't know it, and therefore, his Nizirut is cancelled. But if what happened was they later discovered this mate buried in the earth underneath the water in the cave, then, if Yarad Lahaker, if he just went into the mikvah that we later found this mate buried underneath to cool off, then Tahor. Then he's Tahor. Litaher mitumat mate, but if he, on the other hand, went in there to become Tahor from tumat mate, Tameh. Why? Shechazkat Tameh Tameh, Chazkat Tahor Tahor, Shraglaim Ladavar, that we work with his Chazakah. Meaning, if he went in there as a regular Tahor guy, and he went to dip into the cave, into the waters of the cave, and later on we discovered a body that likely nobody had ever seen before, some guy had been swimming and drowned and never was found, then that's called Tumat Tahom, and we say that we work on the Chazakah, that he was Tahor, and that's Tumat Tahom. But if it's Tumat Yidua, because the body is found floating, if it's Tumat Yidua, then in any case he's Tameh. If on the other, because we assume he touched it. If on the other hand, it's Tumat Tahom, it was buried, then if he went in Tameh, we say you didn't lose your, you maintain your Chazakah, you're still Tameh, and you still have to become Tahor, you have to go through 7 days, etc. If, on the other hand, you went in Tahor, we say Chazaka was Tahor, we assume you didn't touch this thing, because with Tumat Tahom we're lenient, and that's how we judge it. Okay, now, Menahan Emili, how do we know this whole notion of Tumat Yidua versus Tumat Tahom? So we have a machloket, early Amoraim, as to what's the sources. Amar Abelazar Damakra, Chemut Met Allah Befeta Pitom. This is in the context of a nazir. If a person suddenly, without warning, dies on him, what's alav b'chuberet lo? Meaning, it has to be something he's totally clear with. He sees and he knows about this mate. That means that a tumat tahom that he walked over and he had no idea that underneath that floorboard there was a mate or wherever it was doesn't count. Rish Lakish amar makra ki yat tamei lanefesh over derech chokah. In the context of Pesach Sheni. Which, parenthetically, this is being broadcast on Pesach Sheni. The Torah says that if Pesach Rishon time, the person is Tamei Mate, or Bederach Rechoka, then he could do Pesach Sheni. Kiderach, so therefore, Tumat Mate is like a road. Ma Derach Begoli, Avkol Begoli, just like a road is wide open to all. Similarly, it's got to be a mate that's known to others. Now, Ve'alahadinan, we have the Mishnah in Taharot, Ezu Tumat Tahom. What is Tumat Tahom? Kol She'ino Makira Achad B'Sof HaOlam. As long as nobody in the world knows about it. Somebody dropped dead somewhere, nobody was around, they got buried, and the animals covered it, whatever it is, and nobody knows about it. That's Tumat Tahom. Aval Makira Achad B'Sof HaOlam. But if some guy, even on the other side of the world, knows that there's a mate lying there, then Ezu Tumat Tahom. That's called Tumat Yidua. So Rabish to Malamanda Rakiderach, according to Rish Lakish, the drasha fits perfectly. Because Shapir, because after all, a derech is something that is seen by others. And therefore, the fact that I don't see the road doesn't mean the road is not a road. As long as somebody knows there's a road there, it's a road. Same thing with the mate, as long as somebody knows there's a mate there. Manda Ramuchuveratlo, but Rabbi Lazar, who learns it from Alav, Muchuveratlo, meaning it's clear to him, Kimakiracha Besof Olam Mayavi, what does it make a difference if some guy in Japan knows that there's a mate here? It's not known to the Nazir. Right, which means that Rabbi Lazar's limud doesn't seem to fit the halacha. V'tu hadatanya hamotzei meit mushkav l'rachba shel derech. Plus, we have a braita that we're going to re-examine in a little bit. It says if you find a body lying on the width of the road, meaning that you were walking, and after you walked, somebody later discovered that there was a dead body, over the width of the road, b'truma tamei. When it comes to if you're bringing truma, we say that truma is tamei. You're Tomei and you can't eat Truma. But Nazir Vasiya Pesach Tahor. But if you're a Nazir, it doesn't cancel Nazirut. If you're on your way to do Pesach, we don't stop you. You go and do your Pesach to avoid Karet. Now, that means clearly this is a Tuma Derabbanan, and that's why we can be selective about how to apply it. Maishna, so why do we distinguish here? After all, if it's clearly known to somebody, Ella tuma tatahom gemara gamirilai. The answer is tuma tahom doesn't come from this pasuk, doesn't come from that pasuk. It is a halacha l'moshe Sinai. It's a tradition of tuma tahom, and those are the parameters of tuma tahom that we apply it selectively, and we apply it based on chazakah, etc. Okay. Now im ad shelo gileach. Back in our Mishnah stated that if he had not yet shaved, then in any case, any kind of tumah, well, tumah tahom, tumah yiduah, will cancel his nazirut. So, mantana, who could be the author of our Mishnah? I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar. He must be Rabbi Eliezer. Why? What's Rabbi Eliezer's famous shita that we've encountered countless times in our Masachet? De'amar tiglachat me'akevet. The shaving is an indispensable part of the process of tahara. Therefore, it can be a serious landmark, shall we say, in the process. So you could say that anything before Giluach, you're still not clean. If you become Tamei and you found, and even if it's Tumat Tahom, then it's canceled. But after Tiglachat, you're already beyond. That must be Rabbi Elazar. Now keep that in mind that Rabbi Elazar is the author. Bar Rami Bar Chama, he asked the following question. What happens if, after you finished being a Nazir, you didn't shave yet, but after you finished being a Nazir, you found out that 2 weeks earlier, in the middle of the period, you had crossed a road where there really was Tumah. Now, Mahu, what do we do? Bata Yediazlin, do we follow the time that you found out? V'yediachar Maloti, and that was after Malot, Olav. Or do we go after the time that we now know you became possibly Tumah, which is 2 weeks ago, in the middle of Malot? No, ulamai, let me start. For what purpose are you asking the question? To cancel your nazirut? So, amarava toshmaim ad shelo gileach ben kach ben kach soter. What did our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah said that if it's before you shaved, in any case, you're tamei, it's soter. So, heichidami, idi yadale betoch malot. Are we talking about a case where in the middle of being a nazir, you found out about it? That's a no-brainer. Tzrich lememar, you have to tell me that it cancels? That's ABCs. Alav la'achar malot. It must be that you found out after the period. And we're saying that you became Tamei during the period. So Shema Mina, that proves the answer to Rahama's question is that even if you find out after the period, nonetheless, if the act that you found out about happened during the period, then we say it is Soter. It means we go after the time of the event, not after the time of the awareness. But we still have to ask the following question. Kulo Soter or Shiva Soter? Should it cancel out the entire Nazirut or just make you lose 7 days and you have to keep another 7 days of Nazirut? So the man, according to whom are we asking this question? Ilema le Rabbanan, if you're asking according to Rabbanan, Pshita de Kulu Soter. It's clear that it cancels the whole thing because the Rabbanan said even if you became Tamei after the Malot, before you shaved, it's all Soter. So now that after the Malot you found out that earlier you've been Tamei, certainly it's going to be Soter the whole thing. That's easy. The Ilu Rabbi Lazar call Achar Malot Shiva Soter. And if according to Rabbi Lazar, then remember what's Rabbi Lazar's Shita, is after you finish the 30 days, you become Tameh, even if you didn't do any of the procedures, you still only cancel 7 days. That's Rabbi Lazar's Shita, we saw in the third parak. So, Amar Lacha, Hani Mili, Ki Nitma Achar Malot. Maybe Rabbi Lazar would say the following. Maybe I only say that you cancel out 7 days and not 30 if you actually became Tameh after the Malot. And this tuma or possible tuma happened before the malot, before you were done. Or maybe this is different because you found out afterwards, so maybe that's the determining date. Umina, and now we can figure it out from the Mishnah what the answer is. Katani ben kach ben kach soter. What did the Mishnah say? If before you shaved you found out whether it's tuma tahom or tuma yiduah, it cancels. And the Mishnah doesn't distinguish between the tumah happening in the middle and happening at the end. Therefore, we have to conclude that in any case it only cancels 7. Because remember, the author of our Mishnah, I told you to remember this, is Rabbi Eliezer. Since Rabbi Eliezer is the author of the Mishnah, he will certainly say that if you became Tamei after Malot, it only cancels 7. And the Mishnah does not distinguish and say, if you now found out about Tumah that happened a week ago, it cancels 30. But if Tumah that happened after Malot, then it only cancels 7, doesn't distinguish. Therefore, it means that if you find out after Malot, it doesn't matter when the event happened, it only cancels 7 days. All right, Tana Rabbanan, we go back to the dead guy found on the road. Hamotzen meit mutal or chabashil derech, if you find a dead body, and the with with wives across the road, litruma tameh v'nozav sepesach tahor, that we already saw. Now, what are the restrictions on that? She'en makom lavor, that's only if there's no place for you to pass over the road. Meaning you cross the road, you don't remember where you went, and you come back and there's a mate that covers the entire width of the road. Aval yesh lo makom lavor, if there is even a place to pass, meaning the mate doesn't take up the whole width of the road, af the truma tahor, then it's tahor for everything. Because you're b'chezka tahara, there's no reason to change that unless we know for sure that you violated it. And by the way, this halacha only applies if the mate was found in a state of entirety. But if it's pieces of a mate broken up, even if you could not pass and avoid it, we consider the possibility, because after all, the whole thing is based on a safek, possibility that you walked between the pieces and really never encountered any tuma, and therefore even for truma, you're okay. Over kever, but however, if there's a grave where all these pieces are, then afilu mishubam farak, even if he's broken up, tameh. So let's say there's a kever that covers the entire width of the road, and the fact that the body's broken up doesn't matter. The kever unites them. It's in one kever. Now, b'medvar mamurim, when does all this work? B'malech baraglav. Now we're going backwards and saying astringency. The leniency of that only applying to Truma and not to Nazir Nasa Pesach is if the fellow is walking on this road, Aval Ta'una Rachuv, let's say that he's riding on a horse or he's getting carried by somebody, Tameh. Why? Somebody who's walking can walk carefully. It could be that he won't touch, V'shalo Yasit, he won't pick it up, he won't move, V'shalo Yahil, he won't make an Ohel. When you walk, you can walk carefully. Ta'una Rachuv, but if you're being carried or you're riding a horse or riding in a wagon, you can't have that much care on the stuff that's out of your control. It's impossible for you not to touch, V'shalo Yasit, or to move the thing, V'shalo Yahil. Heal. Now, what is this all referring to? Betumata tahom. This leniency of only applying it to truma and only if the body covers the entire half width of the road and only if the body is in its entirety, etc., is only for tuma tahom, which means, well, we'll see what it means in a minute. How about tuma yadua? But if it's tuma that people knew about, you just didn't see it, then shloshtan tmeim. Shloshtan meaning nazir, osa pesach, as well as truma. They're all tamei. Meaning, tuma yadu is regular tuma, and your tamei. Ve'ezui tuma tatahom, what's the definition? Kol she'en makira achad besof ha'olam. As long as nobody in the world knows about it. Makira achad besof ha'olam, ein zu tuma tatahom. And so therefore, if anybody ever in the world, so if somebody shows up a year later and says, yeah, remember that guy dropped dead and we put a little marker there and we couldn't move him and there was always, we always knew that that road was like that, then it's no longer tuma tatahom. Hayatamun b'teven or b'tzorot. Let's say that he was buried underneath straw or rocks. Harezu tumata tahom. That could be tumata tahom. Because it's possible that a person died on a journey all alone, and then animals came and covered stuff up, and things fell on him. He got covered. B'yamim uva'afela uvenikikea slayim. But if he's buried underwater, or in a very dark place, like a dark cave, or in the clefts of rocks, Einzu tumata tahom. The assumption is that he was put there on purpose, or that somebody has seen him. Now, when you say b'yamim, we're not talking about somebody who's at the bottom of the sea. We're talking about somebody who's like in a mikvah, like what we talked about. V'lo amru tumata tahom elo lemeit bilvad. And parenthetically, tumata tahom only applies to tumat meit, not to sheretz and not to any other kinds of tumot. Okay. Now, the last piece we're going to look at today is on the Mishnah when it said that if he goes into the mikvah and we then find a body floating on the water, then we assume he touched it. But if the body was buried, then we just follow his chazaka. Yeah, tzafa ena metame linyan sheretz. A floating body is not metame legabe sheretz, meaning if a person goes to the mikveh, something like that, or a person was swimming somewhere, and they come out, and we find a dead sheretz floating there, we don't assume you touched it, and you're tame. Tanya sofek tuma tzafa. If you have a sofek of whether you touched a floating tuma, ben mekelim ben mekarka tahora, whether it's in vessels, like a bath, or whether it's in the land, which means like in a natural pool or in a cave, it's tahor. Shimon Rabbi Kalim Tmeyah B'Karka Torah. He disagrees with half of that and says if it's in a vessel, it's Tamei. Now, my Tanakama, why does Tanakama say in any case it's Tahor? It's like Rav Dimik Ti B'Chol HaSheretz HaShoretz Al Aretz. The Torah, when it talks about Tumat Shratzim, talks about Shratzim that are on the land. Komakom Shu Shoretz, right? Anywhere that it Sheretz is, where it creeps. Uchtiv Al Haaretz. So, which is it? It says anywhere where it charates, and then it says on the land. Hakeitzad, how do we do it? Vadai mago'o tamei. If you for sure touched it, it doesn't matter where you are. Safeg mago'o, but if we're not sure if you touched it, then if it's not on the land, tahor. In other words, how do we deal with a sheretz, not al haretz? So in the case of vadai, you're tamei, but in the case of safeg, you're tahor. Rabbi Shimon, my tamei. Why does Rabbi Shimon distinguish and say kelim is tamei? In that same parak, in Parshat Shemini, it says that in Mayan Uvor, Uchtiv Mara Arev. So Haketzad, how do we reconcile that that a Mayan is Tahor, and yet it says Yitmara Arev? Haketzad, Safa Bekelim Tameh. If it's a Kli, it's Tameh, because Kelim are obviously much more Shayach to Tumah. Pekarka Tahor, Karka, which is sort of inherently tahor and can't really become tamei. Therefore, if it's floating and something that's directly connected to the land, then it's tahor. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, we will pick up in the next podcast at this point on Daf Samach Dalet Amud Aleph and continue to Daf Samach He Amud Bet. And after that, the next podcast, the second two podcasts from now, will be the final one on Masechet Nazir. Everyone should have a wonderful day.